Rely on the team you have assembled, but do not be its prisoner or give it undue influence. Franklin D. Roosevelt had his infamous brain trust, the advisors and cabinet members on whom he depended for their ideas and opinions. But he never let them in on the actual decision-making, and he kept them from building up their own power base within the administration. He saw them simply as tools, extending his own abilities and saving him valuable time. He understood unity of command and was never seduced into violating it. A key function of any chain of command is to supply information rapidly from the trenches, letting you adapt fast to circumstances. The shorter and more streamlined the chain of command, the better for the flow of information. Even so, information is often diluted as it passes up the chain. The telling details that reveal so much become standardized and general as they are filtered through formal channels. Some on the chain, too, will interpret the information for you, filtering what you hear. To get more direct knowledge, you might occasionally want to visit the field yourself. Marshall would sometimes drop in on an army base incognito to see with his own eyes how his reforms were taking effect. He would also read letters from soldiers. But in these days of increasing complexity, this can consume far too much of your time. What you need is what the military historian Martin van Creveld calls a directed telescope. People in various parts of the chain and elsewhere to give you instant information from the battlefield. These people, an informal network of friends, allies, and spies, let you bypass the slow-moving chain. In general, it is important to cultivate these directed telescopes and plant them throughout the group. They give you flexibility in the chain, room to maneuver in a generally rigid environment. The single greatest risk to your chain of command comes from the political animals in the group. People like this are inescapable. They spring up like weeds in any organization. Not only are they out for themselves, but they would build factions to further their own agendas and fracture the cohesion you have built. Interpreting your commands for their own purposes, finding loopholes in any ambiguity, they create invisible breaks in the chain. Try to weed them out before they arrive. In hiring your team, look at the candidates' histories. Are they restless? Do they often move from place to place? That is a sign of the kind of ambition that will keep them from fitting in. When people seem to share your ideas exactly, be wary. They are probably mirroring them to charm you. Do not be naive. Once you identify the moles in the group, you must act fast to stop them from building a power base from which to destroy your authority. Finally, pay attention to the orders themselves, their form as well as their substance. Vague orders are worthless. As they pass from person to person, they are hopelessly altered, and your staff comes to see them as symbolizing uncertainty and indecision. It is critical that you yourself be clear about what you want before issuing your orders. On the other hand, if your commands are too specific and too narrow, you will encourage people to behave like automatons and stop thinking for themselves, which they must do when the situation requires it. Erring in neither direction is an art. Reversal. No good can ever come of divided leadership. If you are ever offered a position in which you will have to share a command, turn it down, for the enterprise will fail and you will be held responsible. Better to take a lower position and let the other person have the job.